Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 17th of January, recording at 9:19 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights here. Asian stock markets were mostly firmer, with the Japan's Nikkei and the Hong Kong Hang Seng index up 2 and 2.7% respectively. China and India were down a little bit here today, but it's a generally firm tone there. But European markets, having followed that lead and been up early on in the day for the most part, been sold off on, yet again, more Wall Street weakness. And Wall Street really closed off the lows, but still took a big hit with the Dow down 306 points, or nearly 2.5%, the S&P down nearly 40 points, and that's nearly 3%, and the Nasdaq Composite down 47 points, and that's nearly 2%. So the S&P with the biggest decline percentage-wise there, the Nasdaq, the smaller one, but a big hit all the way around. And against that background, the European bonds actually paired gains a little bit. I'm talking about the bond prices now, but needless to say, the Wall Street bonds were quite firm against that background. We might have touched a new rally high here for the U.S. 10-year and 30-year. And the dollar was soft earlier on, but recouped most of those declines. It's currently down 38 ticks on the US dollar index, just about unchanged against the euro, having been weaker against the euro for most of the day, and also unchanged against the Swiss franc, also having been weaker for most of the day. Precious metals, they lost some quite good gains. Here, gold got back over 890, but is currently trading at 877.61. That's up about 50 cents on the day. March silver had rallied up to 1617.5, but is currently at 1593 in the after-hours trading. That's still up, but obviously well off the highs. Platinum and palladium were down a little bit. Industrial metals were mixed. Copper did manage a small gain. And the grains and beans, they were strong early on. Wheat was limit up at one stage. But these got pegged back to corn, but only down 0.5 cent, and soybeans down six cents, I think. A wheat limit move is 30 ticks, and I think it closed at 14 ticks. And crude oil is weaker in here today, currently 89.95. Okay, so what's it all mean, and what's going on here? Well, the big story here in terms of stock markets, I think right now, is still the Wall Street leash effect. Wall Street remains the epicenter of economic concerns, as you know, and Wall Street, the U.S. economy, remains the epicenter of global risk, and Wall Street is acting accordingly here, having broken down in a move that's gathering pace. We currently have the Dow down, I think, just over 14% from its high, about 14.3% from its high, and the S&P is down, I think, 15.4% from its high. So these are significant declines, and they're taking their toll of other markets, particularly markets most within the Wall Street sphere. So we see that with the European markets, including the Eastern European markets. Nothing is really immune to the Wall Street leash effect if the US market is declining persistently enough. And for instance, that dragged Brazil below some lateral ranging support here. So the good gets pulled down with the bad, and at times like this, when investors are obviously nervous and sentiment is deteriorating. Now remember, if you're looking for silver linings, that's a contrary indicator. Sentiment is almost always a contrary indicator, including, I should add, our own sentiment, which we all need to monitor. The Asian markets want to go up, but they then get reined in again by that U.S. action. So this bearish mode that we are in still persists. Now some of these declines are beginning to look overextended, at least somewhat overextended. Some of them are beginning to look very overextended, and the short-term indicators for the U.S. and European markets are pushing to oversold levels. But so what? A lot of people will say we've broken down out of ranging type 3 top formations, and there are medium-term downtrends established, and that's absolutely correct. So we don't see yet any evidence. I don't see any evidence that this is actually over, but it is beginning to look climactic here once again. And what would actually help? Well, I don't want to beat on too much about the central bank in here, but you know, you get a situation where people say, "Oh, Bernanke's actually made a bold statement saying that," as to referring to something said last week, saying that you know, situation has deteriorated. Well, everybody knows that, and saying that the Fed is prepared to take action. Well, everybody knows that, but it hasn't done it. It's a bit like Bernanke was speaking on the stimulus package here today, and fair enough, he said a stimulus package would help. Well, everybody knows that. But we don't have the stimulus package. Now, so what we get is a situation where the Fed remains very much behind the curve, and it still works to a time schedule. You know, its next meeting, I can't remember whether it's the 30th or 31st of January, yet of course the stock markets are open every day in here and saying, well, they're all saying that things are getting worse. And so that creates a fairly panicky environment among investors, which does become climactic in here. And that's the situation that we're faced with right now. I think something has got to frighten the shorts a little bit and reassure investors somewhat. I think the Fed and the administration will eventually catch up with events, but meanwhile, you know, the market's being battered on an almost daily basis here by this bad news. Now, investors who've been around for a long time will know that there's an old saying that you want to be buying when there's blood in the streets, and it's not exactly a massacre out there, but it's fairly painful in a number of areas. And this is also creating some very interesting opportunities in a number of areas. I nibbled at a bit of Rio Tinto in here today. I didn't do it in my long-term investment portfolio because I'm not adding cash to that, but I think the share is oversold. So I opened a spread bet long. I mean, this, given where Wall Street closed, I would be surprised if it didn't open down tomorrow. But the point is that some of these shares that have nothing really to do with the U.S. banking crisis and the European banking crisis have been pulled down and are really looking very attractive here once again. But in the short term, I think we have to accept the fact that markets are still under pressure in here and likely to remain so for a while longer. Best case scenario, we could see an important selling climax or get an important low in here this quarter. I would be reasonably hopeful that we would certainly see that during the first half of this year, and it could occur sooner than most people think. But more importantly, rather than guessing or speculating on that, I think we should be able to recognize it when we see it, when it occurs. And it hasn't occurred yet, quite obviously, on the basis of today's actions. Now, what about the government bonds? They're still very much influenced by the Wall Street fears, and the Wall Street fears concern recession and the write-down of corporate profits, and that is certainly heavily outweighing any inflation fears, which and the inflation pressures that we've seen have occurred, as I mentioned many times, mainly from energy prices and also food prices. Now, the food prices are still going up. Sugar, which I didn't mention in my introduction, sugar had a big day on the upside. It's been running up here quite sharply recently. And I did mention those grains and beans, which are quite steady. So agricultural commodities are still quite firm. And the precious metals, although they're off their highs and are not totally immune to Wall Street contagion, have been fairly firm. Some people may regard that as an inflation indicator. Well, sometimes people buy because of inflation fears. I suspect they're buying more just because of the overall momentum and trend that we've seen in gold, and it's really regarded as an alternative currency here by investors. A currency that's no one else's liability. So I think that's what's really behind much of the strength in those precious metals. Now, in terms of energy prices, if you look at a weekly chart of oil, and if I have time, I might post one of those today or certainly tomorrow. If you look at a weekly chart of crude oil, you will notice that in terms of the, well, it's still currently in a trading range. It's near the lower side of a trading range. Something I'd mentioned, I have mentioned previously, that the last move upwards to the $100 level, if you look at the whole move off the low at $55 that crude had seen last year, and then that steady move upwards, it did steepen, so we certainly had some acceleration to that move overall. And my best guess is that this ranging activity is part of a medium-term correction for the oil price. And if that's the case, then we would probably get it falling back down into the mid to lower $80 region at some stage over the next few weeks or months. So that would provide a little bit of respite as far as some of the concerns. But I don't think we're going to see food prices come down much. The risks are still on the upside there. Now, in terms of precious metals, again, I think this is still a very bullish story overall, but these things are volatile. Those people who are playing via futures, as I certainly do, really need to make the purchases on setbacks or following setbacks. Those of you who are holding bullion funds, and I know a great many subscribers do, I'd be pretty relaxed about the action that's actually taking place. And again, setbacks are a time to top up if you're inclined. I'm just saying, don't chase these markets on the upside, because they are fairly volatile. And if you're paying new highs in a run that's really quite strong, then you're very likely going to see that purchase underwater at some stage, whereas picking things up after reactions has been by far the most successful tactic all along, and inevitably is going to be the most successful tactic in something that's in an overall primary upward trend. The industrial metals also catch some of the contagion, but these are gradually firming, and we've seen that with copper's pretty good rally in recent weeks. And the nickel chart suggests to me that we're seeing base building activity, as I've said before. Net it all out, I maintain that the U.S. economic problems and the slower growth that's emanating from Wall Street and affecting some other areas in Europe and to a lesser extent Asia, that this has slowed but lengthened the cycle. And I think that we will probably end the year in stock markets a good deal stronger than we have entered the year in global stock markets. I think that's pretty much it here today, so I'll just say all the best to all of you.